I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A hearty welcome to each and every one of us here. And if there's guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome. God has blessed us with another beautiful day, and we just want to thank him for that. Gathering in the house of the Lord to worship him, to praise him for his grace, a mercy that is new every morning. And that we have a God who is perfect, a God who makes no mistakes, and yet he loves us, he cares for us. And I believe we have all felt that. Yet we also probably have to admit that we sometimes get a little impatient with God, but this morning we want to look at that and to see what kind of a God we have. But before we do that, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, a day where we so freely can proclaim the gospel. We pray for our government that they will continue to give us that freedom, and that we don't take it for granted. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope we have in Christ. May this hope that does not change be in our thoughts and in our heart. With this hope, we do not have to be afraid of our future, knowing that you will return and receive us where you are, the place that you have prepared for us in heaven. And help us to treasure this hope in our daily life. And when the burdens of this world weigh heavily upon us, we just need to look at our future. And Lord, we also ask your Spirit's presence in our midst this morning, as we want to see what your word has for us. This we pray in your Son's precious name, Jesus. Amen.
From the Red Book, number 452, When I Am Standing on Jordan's Shore.
When I am standing on Jordan's shore, viewing my home so near, come to me, Savior, and guide me o'er, banishing all my fears. Yonder in glorious realms of light, safe on the golden strand, Savior's breast. There will I gaze on his face so fair, dwelling among the blessed. Yonder in glorious realms of light, safe on the golden strand, violet may Savior through darkest night into the heavenly land.
Number 395, In the Glory of Life's Morning. 395.
Have you ever felt as if God has turned his back on you? Have we ever been disappointed that God has not answered our prayers as quickly as we think that he should have? Have we ever felt as if he has not treated us fairly? I'm sure we have. We are not the only ones. I know that there are people out there that are still angry at God for some unpleasant thing that has happened, or believe that God has not treated them fairly, and they feel that they can punish God or get back at him by not complaining. There may still be hidden anger or bitterness in their hearts. We only need to go to Scripture to find examples of this. And sometimes we feel like God owes us an answer a little quicker. We feel that God owes us better health. He owes us a better job. Or that He needs to fix some things that are troublesome to us. But we all know that God is capable of doing all things. We also know that God knows exactly what our situation is. And yet, we are still waiting. Our text this morning reminds us that God is God. He is not accountable to us. He does not owe us anything. And that we are the ones that are accountable to Him. So the words of text we want to take out of Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And I believe this is not always easy for us as Christians to do. There are always things in our lives that need to be fixed. There are always prayers that we've prayed and that have not been answered yet. There are always troubles that need to be addressed. How can I be still and patiently wait for an answer? But the voice of God rings out to all the people of the earth in assurance and supremacy. Be still and know that I am God. Every fear is stilled. Every anxiety is quieted. His people can relax. He is God. He is victorious. He is supreme over all the earth. And no matter what may happen or how dark the hour may be, the Lord of hosts is with us. And if the one that directs the armies of heaven is on our side, there is nothing that can destroy us. Take refuge. We can take refuge from the storms of this uncertain life. Yes, the Bible has the answer for all of that. Be still and know that I am God. God has not forgotten us. God is not unaware of our circumstances or the things that we are going through. God knows our needs. God will not forget about us. We can read of numerous people in Scripture who have questioned God. They have questioned Him why He was doing what He is doing. And one of these individuals we want to look at this morning, it is a prophet. A prophet, Habakkuk. He was a prophet, and yet he questioned God. We find that in Habakkuk chapter 1. Verses 1 to 4. There the prophet is questioning God about the injustice that he thinks is happening. And it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. He pours out his heart to God in what he is thinking. Thinking that injustice is being done. This prophet, he saw the iniquity in the children of Israel. And he is questioning God. How long will you allow this to go on? The prophet, he feels entirely helpless. Because he is the one that is supposed to teach the people God's way. And yet, to him, it feels like he is speaking to the wind. And this happened approximately 200 years after the children of Israel left the desert into the promised land. They had forgotten about how good God had been to them. 3-4 generations later, it was all forgotten. And we don't have to look very far. We just have to look into our country. We are not 200 years. Our country is founded on the principles of God. And where are we today? Less than 200 years. Yes, the children of Israel, they were a strong nation. And God had blessed them greatly. And yet, they had forgotten about God. They were depending upon themselves. Yes, the king, he did not believe in God. And spiritually, the people, they were cold and blind. And now the prophet, he is questioning God. How long? And have we also, like Habakkuk, questioned God about certain things? How long? Have we been impatient in waiting for God to answer our prayers? I'm sure all of us would say, yes, we've been there. Where we would like God to hurry up. We'd like to tell him, we know what the problem is. We know the solution. So let's do it. But we also find here that Habakkuk did not give up. And neither should we. The answer will come. And now we find that God did answer him, starting with verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Yes, here God gives the prophet an answer. He says to the prophet, the Chaldeans, a nation known for their fierceness, will come to punish the people. But when Habakkuk heard this, he was troubled. Now, hadn't he prayed for an answer, and he got it? He wanted an answer, but this wasn't the answer that he wanted. This was not the answer he had expected. To him, this was too severe. And Habakkuk bargains for his people. He feels this will be too harsh for them. And maybe there is another way to get the people's attention. And don't we also find this so often in our own lives? God answers in a completely different way than we were expecting. I only need to look at my own life. God has answered prayers and provided direction beyond my imaginations. In the same book, we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1. And Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk, he retired to his watchtower to see how the Lord would answer him. He wanted to spend some time alone with God. And this is most important for us as well, to take time to be alone with God, to communicate with him. And here we also find that Habakkuk yielded himself to the will of God. He says, I will allow God to do his work, knowing that he, Habakkuk, was not in control, but that God was in control. And he came to realize the words, be still and know that I am God. This prophet learned to know God in a new way. It came to a point where he needed to trust God. He needed to learn to trust God. He needed to acknowledge who God is and to worship him, even when times it felt like he was far away. He needed to trust God when the answers that he was waiting for were not visible. Habakkuk needed to learn to believe, even though he had not seen. We are reminded of Thomas, and when he was told of Jesus, He did not believe till he would have seen. He says, I won't believe till I put my fingers in the nail holes. But what did Christ say to Thomas? Now that you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And how many times have we been a doubting Thomas or a doubting Habakkuk? How many times have we doubted when we should have believed and trusted? Quick to ask the question, why isn't God doing something about this? But instead of becoming impatient or to keep on asking why, we should remember our text, be still and know that I am God. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It may not always seem so. Sometimes when we are suffering for whatever it may be, we wonder what good can come out of it. Whatever God permits to come into our lives is designed for one thing, and that is to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus. When we see this, it takes the question mark out of our prayers. Our lives are not controlled by chance, by luck, or by fate, but by a personal Lord who is too loving to be unkind and too wise to err. Amen. Before we go on our message this morning, I want to give you all the opportunity, whoever's able, to go on bended knee and pray for whatever lies on your heart. And so let us all kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 250, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. 250, for those that are able, let's stand.
For its skies may turn to gray. I don't. about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds a sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Many of us struggle with that, worrying about tomorrow. Continuing with our service, we want to go back, turn back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Here the prophet is talking about the righteous and the unrighteous. The unrighteous, they are the ones that are lifted up by pride, thinking that they are in control of their destiny. Who are the righteous? What does he mean by living by faith? What it means is that by faith the righteous live. Those who have faith have eternal life. The ones living in faith do not walk about doubting God and questioning God why He is doing what He is doing. The ones of the faith, they trust in God, even when He is allowing things. Those in the faith keep on trusting God, even when it seems like the unrighteous have the upper hand and the righteous are suffering wrongfully. And I'm sure we've all had those kind of thoughts. Why is that happening? Scripture says He allows it to rain on the evil and the righteous, allows the sun to shine on the evil and on the righteous. The ones of the faith can look beyond the why question and still acknowledge God is God, even when things are happening that we don't understand. It's His own. I read a story the other day of a missionary in Africa, and he told this story to his home church, where the church that was supporting him. And he worked in a hospital in the jungle, and every 2 weeks he needed to make a trip back to the city with his bicycle to pick up supplies and medicine. And this trip took 2 days to travel with a bicycle. And he had to camp overnight in the jungle. And on one of these trips, as he came into the city, he saw two individuals. They were fighting, and one of them had been hurt. And this missionary treated this hurt individual and he also shared the gospel with him, and probably also what he was doing. And so the missionary continued on into the city to pick up some cash to buy his needed supplies, and then again he made his 2-day journey back to the hospital. And when he came back the next 2 weeks, the same man that he had treated, he met again. And this man came to him and said that he and a few other men had followed him into the jungle. They had seen him go to the bank, and they knew that he would camp overnight, and they had planned to rob and kill him. But he says, just as we were ready to jump, there was 26 armed men around you, and they had turned back and allowed the missionary to go on his journey. And as the missionary finished his story there in church, he had been together with his church friends that morning, and suddenly he had felt the urge to pray for this missionary. So he called his friends together, the ones he was with, and they prayed for the missionary. And the missionary asked how many men were praying. And his friend asked all those men to stand that had been praying that morning. They counted 26 men, the same amount as the armed guards were surrounding the missionary in the jungle. This is a story of faith, to pray. And he believed that God wanted him to pray, and he asked his friends to join him. This missionary could have been killed, but that was not God's plan. God had a different plan. He wanted this missionary to continue with his work. Yes, this reminded of the words that we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, this is not a definition of faith. Rather, it is a description of what faith does for us. It provides evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are certain and real. In other words, it brings the future into the present and makes the invisible seen. Faith is confidence in a trustworthy God, and what he promises will come to pass. Faith has a promise from God as its foundation. Faith is not a leap into the dark. And how many people have prayed for us when we needed help? Or how often have we prayed for others going through a difficult time? 5, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And going on to verse 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's still someone. We are on the same level of thinking. But when we disagree with what the Lord is doing, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts. So are we not thankful that the Lord is at work in our lives? We do not know how often he has guided, protected, opened, or closed doors in our lives that we are completely unaware of. Now, our job is not to try and figure out who God is, where he is, why he is doing what he is doing, why he doesn't answer my prayers, and why good things are happening to my neighbor who isn't even a Christian. No, we don't need to know all those things. But what we need to do and to know is this: be still and know that I am God. King David had to do this many times. Had he not done this, he would have had many more burdens in his life. And if he would have tried to figure out who God was and why he was doing what he was doing, and had he tried to carry the burdens by himself, David would have lost purpose, his reason for living. But David kept on trusting on and depending on an unseen God, knowing that God was in his presence as if he could see him. In Psalm 25, verses 1 to 5, the words of David: "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." First of all, David prays for protection. His enemies were never far from him. And we could echo the same words: our enemy, Satan, is never far from us. And we need God's protection, the Holy Spirit. And David says that he will never be disappointed in trusting God. His enemy will never have occasion to rejoice that God has failed him. As a matter of fact, David wishes a full dose of shame to his enemies. David goes on and seeks instruction from God. He wants to know the way of his Lord, to walk in his paths and grow in truth. This desire for his love for the God of his salvation. And you know, friends, that holds true for us today too. We must learn to depend on our God, whom we cannot see with our open eyes, but can feel his presence in our hearts. But David knew what was most important for him. It was to learn that he was here only for a short period of time compared to eternity. Psalm 39, verse 5 and 6. "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. How long will we be here? We don't know. It may be for a while. For some, it might be today. It might be tomorrow. But instead of being unthankful or believing that God hasn't been fair to us, let us remember, God is not accountable to us. We are accountable to Him. Yes, God has the right to bless the unrighteous. He has the right to lay burdens upon the righteous. And He can do things in our lives that we don't understand because He is God. And because He is God, there are a few things that He will not do. God will not break His promises to His children. God will not leave or forsake His children. God will not undo the plan of salvation. And He will not stop loving us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. Let us be thankful that we have such a God. This is an important lesson for each one of us to learn, that when things go wrong in our lives, God is still in control. Yes, He was in control when they were at sea and a storm arose and the Creator stilled His creation. And no matter how big the storm, or how high the waves may be, no matter how fragile the ship may be, what matters most is that Jesus Christ is the captain of our ship. And then we know He will carry us safely home. So let us be still and know God. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Father, as we come to the end of this service, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for creating us and the world in which we live. We thank You for the beauty of nature, especially at this time of year. And last Sunday, we were reminded to prepare our hearts for the table of communion. Lord, we know we often come short of Your expectations. We ask for forgiveness so that we may be worthy of partaking of that holy communion next Sunday. And help us to remember to be still and know that You are God. You are the Creator, the Sustainer, and Provider. May we be a blessing to each other. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so let us, once again, whoever is able, to kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 268, Receive Us Again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for bringing us that message this morning. And also thank you for the pianists and song leaders for leading us in singing. Just a few announcements this morning. Today is potluck. And as was mentioned already, next Sunday we will be having communion here. The German communion service will be at 9 a.m. The English communion service will be at 11 a.m. And also, we will try to do as what we've done in the past, that we will sit in every other pew. It just makes it easier for serving. So just a reminder for that morning on Communion Sunday. And then, just to take note in the bulletin there, there's some events. The Salem Foundation, they're having that FOSPA today. That's at 3 o'clock, and that's at the Winkler-Berchtaler Church. And then tomorrow, October 27th, the ladies, the serving group, would like to have a meeting. So the annual serving group's meeting is planned for October 28th at 7 p.m. in the church dining hall or dining room. And then also we'll be having our annual church meeting October 29th, so that will be at 7 p.m. Just a reminder there. And then as Reverend Jake was already mentioning, the power of prayer, let's keep each other in prayer, and also these people that are in the back of the bulletin, Jake and Chris Clausen and Jacob and Helena Bueller, and not just them, but we can pray for everybody that needs our prayers.
Thank you, Brother Henry. And this morning, when I was listening to the news, I was reminded again that praying, the power of prayer. We very often mention that we need to pray for our government. And this morning on the news, our premier, I won't describe the situation, but was crying out to them. He referred to that. And so we just need to continue to pray for our government that they will go to Scripture and look for guidance there. And I want to thank you all for coming and partaking in our worship service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.
Maybe.